Hallelujah. Lord, we come before you tonight in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that, Lord, as we get into your word tonight, Lord, let not this just be information filling our minds. But Lord, we pray that we would be exposed to the unsearchable riches. Father, we pray that you would cause us, Lord, in our hearts to be willing to dig and dig deep, Lord, in the ground of truth. And Father, that there would be a recovery, Lord God, of the nuggets, Lord God, of the wisdom of God. Yes. Lord, as said in your word, that was hid since the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity. Lord, we have our shovels of faith, Lord, willing to dig deep in your word. And Father God, we pray that it would be a time of great impartation. And Lord, we pray enlarge the territory of our faith, that, Lord, we would be found pleasing you and obeying you. And Lord, apprehending and laying hold of the very purposes and the goodness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The church is the only institution associated with God's eternal purpose. And if you need to, catch up on something I said, you can do what Pastor Mel did and just go on your phone and rewind the video a little bit. Hallelujah. I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, but I wrote a little snippet of tonight's teaching on Facebook a couple days ago. And I just love this, how that Jesus was God's secret let out.
Wow.
That is
Jesus is God's secret. Wow. Since the foundation of the world. From the moment that God spoke to that lying serpent in the garden. And he says, I'm going to put an enmity between you and this, and the seed and the woman. There was a secret that God has kept. You can't outkeep secrets from God. God will always beat you. And so until the time that Jesus Christ came, Jesus was the secret of God revealed unto man.
Isn't that beautiful?
I mean, people were searching, Pastor Luke. What is God doing? When is he coming? When is he going to overtake Rome? Or when is he going to free Israel out of a captivity? And so on and so forth. And God says, let me introduce you to a little secret. His name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
His name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And let me introduce you to the secret that I'm going to show up manifested and sit among you and eat with you and hunger with you and do life with you. But not just to do life, but to bring you true life.
Yeah.
The life that the Father had ordained. And so, Jesus is God's secret let out. God didn't repair the old Adam. But he brought a new Adam, one who was far beyond what the old could ever do. Far beyond that, it's called restoration.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Jesus really was the ultimate sign. He came to bring restoration. But he himself was a sign of restoration. In other words, God was looking to restore mankind. And so he brings a second Adam, not a better Adam, but a whole new, whole everything that God had ordained. And you know, as I think about what Jesus has done in our lives, and when I think, Pastor Mel, when Jesus says, in order to even see or to understand the kingdom of God, you must not, you might want to think about, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother, every time I would talk, you know, about if I met someone and, you know, they seemed to be a believer, they said they were a Christian, she would look at me and the only thing that was on her mind before I would get into the depth of this person was, yes, but are they born again? Because that's great that they could acknowledge that there's a God. But your conversation won't go really beyond just that.
That's right.
Because if you have one person who's born again who could see the kingdom, and another person who's born again and they can see the kingdom, guess what you're able to see? The same thing.
Same thing.
And you're able to bear witness. Have you not seen? Did you see Jesus? I saw Jesus work in that. Did you not see how God worked in our situation? And
yeah.
You know, it's when you're born again, you can't help but see Jesus in everything. You just can't help but see him in everything. You know, the world will try to rationalize, well, it's just a coincidence. A coincidence is the excuse of someone who doesn't see the kingdom. God works in mysterious ways. Amen. Anyway, so Jesus brought forth restoration. Why do you think then that the church is more is the most persecuted lot in the world today? It's because Satan has tried to destroy the great purposes of God. There's so much more. You know, as I was reading, as we were reading in Ephesians and talking about the mysteries and the riches, you know, I think of a buried treasure. I think of how, you know, when you see people at the beach sometimes, if you go to the beach, and they have their metal detector, and they're going around and they're hoping they're gonna, you know, really strike some gold or something, right? And nothing, they just leave with bottle caps and pennies, right? Well, anyway, I was thinking about, remember the show? I mean, of course, you have to know the show, The Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, right? The Beverly Hillbillies. And what's really interesting about The Beverly Hillbillies, okay? Right? Old Jeffro was out hunting, right? And he's out hunting, and he goes to shoot that rabbit, right? And the rabbit moves, and he didn't realize on his property that he struck oil. There was an oil reservoir under his little shack. I mean, this guy is an old guy, and he's been living there for so long, and he didn't realize that there's oil in them there hills, and it's right in his backyard, right? And anyway, but here's the interesting thing. If you watch the show, right, they get wealthy. They move to Beverly Hills. Granny comes with them, right? All right, and they're driving down the street. Granny's in that rocking chair. And the interesting thing is that, you know, they got all now these people working to help protect their wealth, right?
Yeah.
But the amazing thing, if you've noticed in all the shows, is that they still wore the same clothes.
They still wore the same clothes.
In other words, they didn't forget where they came from.
Yeah.
Okay? The Lord will, and that's a message in and of itself. The Lord will wants to bless you, but you can't forget where you came from in your covenant with your first love. And so they dress the same way, it's funny, but I believe in the house of God, there is such a reservoir of the riches of God in Christ Jesus that not many have really tapped into as a body. We just come in, we do our due diligence, we hear what the pastor has to say, and then we go home. And that's not what the house of God's to be like. There's oil. There's anointing in the house of God.
Yeah.
And when they struck the oil, it totally changed their whole life living situation.
Come on.
Their whole living. And that's another message, because the fact is, you could be exposed to the riches of God and yet never leave the way of the old man.
Wow.
Come on. I mean, I don't just go to the house of God just to have a good time. I want to explore what's more in the economy and commerce of the kingdom of God. What is God transacting? Where's the blessings of the Lord doing? What's the wisdom of God saying? But it's like you're just sitting there and not really realize. You know, I believe that if I could put a character trait on God, that God is very optimistic. Mm-hmm. Right? He's optimistic. I believe that's a God character trait. You know, it's like two brothers, and they were twins, and complete opposite. One was a pessimist, and one was an optimist. I mean, they like always argue, and never got along. And the mother says, "Oh, this needs to stop." Then she says, "All right, I'm going to take my sons to a psychiatrist because something's not right." And so Timmy and Johnny, you know, they go, and Timmy, who's the pessimist, and Johnny, who's the optimist, that she tells the doctor, listen, they're always bickering, they're always fighting, they're always, you know. And he says, okay, well, we'll fix that. Let me have them for a few days, and we'll make sure that, you know, we'll make the adjustments in their thinking. Mm-hmm. And so Pastor Mel, they go over, and she says, well, what are you going to do? She says, well, Timmy, who's more pessimistic, we're going to have him sit in a room for a few days, surrounded by mountains of toys. Toys that he did not bring. Toys that don't belong to him. But we want him to begin to play with the toys. To realize, hopefully, that sometimes good things happen in life. You didn't ask for it. It just happened. Okay. What about Johnny? Well, Johnny, you know, who's more optimistic? We're going to put him in the barn. Uh-huh. And we got horse stalls in there. And we're going to let him clean the horse manure in there. And he's going to realize that sometimes in life, things just stink. Yeah. All right? So for 3 days, he's going to be there cleaning up and laboring. She says, okay. Sure enough, 3 days go by. They go back. She goes to the doctor. She says, all right. He goes, well, let's see how they've done. So let's go look at Timmy. Timmy's sitting there and surrounded by the toys, and not one toy was touched. 3 days. They said, wow, this is unusual. Every child his age, I mean, they would go crazy with these toys. Timmy, they walk in the room and they said, Timmy, you know, you never touched the toy. What happened? He goes, oh, no, but they're not my toys. And I know if I touch one toy, I'm going to get trouble and I'm probably going to get a spanking. And I know that. And so the doctor just said, oh, my. He said, well, I'm sorry, man. Let's check on your other son. Maybe he, you know. So they went to the barn. They opened the barn doors and they can't find Johnny anywhere. Just, oh, my gosh. They see hay. They see manure. They see, right? So they go, Johnny, where are you? And they're calling for Johnny. And as they're walking, Johnny pops out the side of the hay and out of manure. And they said, whoa. They said, what are you doing, Johnny? He goes, oh, Mommy, I know there's a pony in here somewhere. It doesn't matter what life has been thrown at you. It doesn't matter what the storms. That if God is for you, what could be against you? You could be in the thick of a mess in your life, but because of the very Spirit of God and always moving forward, knowing that he that hath begun a good work shall perform it to the day of Christ, you just pop your head out of that pile of mess and say, my God, I know the Lord will supply all my needs. I know the Lord will break through in my life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see? Amen. Praise the Lord. Satan is trying to destroy the great purposes of God in his church. Mm-hmm. He really is. Now I'm going to put this out there. Israel is a beloved nation. We see through scriptures, a nation of God, beloved nation. God loves Israel. But if you read through the New Covenant, the church is the chosen nation of God.
Yes.
There is a difference. Only the church is eternal, not the nations. Mm-hmm. Listen to that.
Yeah.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
Paul, man, if you don't read Romans, I mean, he gets into the thick of it in Romans 7, 8, and 9. But not the nations, not the governments, and not the family. But the church is eternal. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for that. You know, as we were talking about reconciliation, full reconciliation, it's twofold in what God brought forth. Jesus says this, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, and mind. The second greatest is love thy neighbor. You know, the people who asked him about that, they did not ask him what the second greatest commandment was. They only asked, what's the greatest commandment? But he saw fit that he needed to mention two. Because it's upon those two, he later says, that hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, you got all these laws that man added on top of the Ten Commandments and others that, I mean, so much laws. It was ridiculous. Yes. Because of fear.
That's right.
The motivation was fear of ever breaking the law. And the Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And no. So what they did was they applied something that God had not given to something that God had given, and next thing you know, they began to become a people with a heavy burden. And Jesus says, my burden is light. What's your burden like? My yoke is easy. What kind of yoke are you in? And so anyway, full reconciliation was that through Christ that man would be fully reconciled, not partially, but fully reconciled to God. Fully reconciled to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, Jesus is the King of Kings, right?
Yes.
I was actually studying other notes, which I'm not going to be getting into tonight, about the church and the kingdom. And that's one of my favorite. I like to really delve into that. But one thing I want to bring out, a full reconciliation. is that Jesus, who's a king, and we're part of a kingdom through Christ, right? And he's our king. In the word king, you'll find the word kin.
Kin.
K-I-N.
K-I-N.
That means that to the king, we are relationally connected. We are a kin to Christ. You talk about bigger brothers watching you? Yeah, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're akin to him. We're relationally connected. We're fully reconciled. And not only are we reconciled with God, but man is now reconciled unto mankind. What do you mean? Well, we talked about government and things a little bit. Majority of what we deal with is war. Every war in history has taken place because of irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. The only way wars can cease is in the cross called reconciliation.
Yeah.
The cross of Calvary. Mm. All the wars is a result of sin, and the cross took care of every war.
Wow.
You know, there's sometimes where we are warring within ourselves or battling things, and yet we're fighting battles that's already been won.
Yes. Think about that.
Think about that.
Yeah.
We're not the fighting war.
Mm-mm. Isn't that something? The blood of Jesus so cleanses you. Let me just share this, and I'm going to try to make it a very brief side note. Life is in the blood. Mm-hmm. Life is in the blood. You have no blood, you got no life, period. Right? Life is in the blood. And, you know, through the engagement of a husband and wife, when they're intimate and they have children, there's DNA strands, things that are shared, but the life of a child or the blood, and I have to look this a little bit up more, but it comes from the male seed.
That's right.
This life is in the seed, right? So when Jesus was in Mary's womb, where do you think his blood came from? His blood was spotless. It was not of the seed of Adam. It was of the seed of God.
Yeah.
So it was the spirit that filled, it was the seed of God that filled her womb.
Wow.
That's why when Jesus bled on the cross for you and I, we're cleansed by pure blood, not blood that's been tainted by sin.
Wow.
If you look in the scriptures, there's 8 times Jesus bled. 8 times. First time Jesus bled was when he was circumcised at 8 days old. There was blood, which prophetically goes to show me that blood shed over the most intimate place on a man. Which goes to show that if you're struggling in the most intimate areas that get people in trouble before they get married, the blood of Jesus conquers that temptation. Because his blood shed over that area. Fast forward the tape, you see Jesus, he's in the garden, he's sweating drops of blood. The Bible says drops of blood. He's under intense pressure, yielding, fighting his own humanity, yielding to the purpose of God. Lord, not thy my will, but thine be done. If you are finding yourself in intense peer pressure or any kind of pressure, the blood of Jesus bled over that and covers that.
Wow.
Jesus also was beaten in his back. He was, you know, the stripes, by his stripes we are healed. Doesn't matter with whatever plague or disease. I think scientifically, they have shown every disease in the world is categorized under 39 main diseases. You know, cancers have different cancers. So on and so forth. And that it's believed that through the Romans, because of playing games, if you will, and later what you see what happened to Paul, that perhaps, Jesus may have received 39 lashings when 40 was the max. But they would withhold the last lashing because it was more torment in expectation to wait for that last one when it's not given. It's like when my parents told me, maybe can't really compare, but they would tell me, wait in your room, we'll be right up there, and they're going to go with the paddle. The waiting was much worse than the spanking. I sat there, I thought of like 20 different ways to hide from my parents, and I realized every place I would hide, I come to myself and say, my dad will find me, and boy, I'd really get it that time. So I get back in the chair, then I go hide in my closet, and then I think, I come to myself, I get back in the chair, right? Yes. And so it's believed that the last lashing would be withheld as joking and jesting as part of the torture process. And if that's true, then every category of disease and sickness, Jesus' blood covers all of that.
Amen.
I believe that.
All of it. All of it. And later on, you know, Jesus, he gets the crown of thorns upon his head. I believe that the blood of Jesus covers, and it will cover even the thoughts of your mind. Majority of the battles we face with is the battle that goes on between our ears. It's the way that we think. A lot of times we want to blame Satan for the way that we think. He only influences. He can only influence you to think away, but it's up to you and I to take on that very thing. Next thing was Jesus. He bled in his hands. Right? Nails in his hands. God has changed by his blood. He made our hands from hands of hurt. We talked about war. To now hands of healing. That we don't have to hurt people anymore, but now we can embrace in the love of Jesus. Because we're reconciled. Jesus bled at his feet. Why? Because I believe that no matter where you started out in life, God can always change your walk. His blood covers the way you walk. So because of his blood, I can now walk on a sure path. A narrow path. But a path that is sure to lead unto salvation. Amen? Amen. And then finally, he gets a spear in his side. He bleeds out of his side because I believe it's the blood of Jesus that will clean you from the inside out.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what. So Jesus covered it all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, so at wars, it's going to result in sin. But Calvary took care of it. Calvary, really, think of this, was a military maneuver on God's part. God, it was a military maneuver. The cross is not just a religious symbol, but it's a battlefield. It's where you come broken, entangled in sin, beaten and trodden down already. I mean, even if you didn't do anything bad, you were born with a death sentence, judged by sin. We were all born that. We didn't do anything to ask for that. But we've come now to the cross. And the cross is a battlefield. And that's why with all that I share about where the blood of Jesus covers, when I got that revelation, when I heard that, all of a sudden the areas of temptation in my life, I began to reuse the cross as a reference point. I said, Mike, whoa, wait a minute. Why am I fighting a battle that was already won? And I already passed through that. I received what Jesus did for me.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 2. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Now this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. They were Gentiles. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace or our harmony. Okay? We're in harmony. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or war, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, the church, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. My God. You wonder why we need to be Spirit-filled or filled with the Spirit? Well, we just done read it. Some people say, well, I'm just not part of that affiliation.
19, 8, 6, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yep. So some could say, well, I don't relate to that way, or I don't relate to that style. It's not a style. It's the infilling of the Spirit of God. It's that I need God's Spirit within me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be built and fitly framed together.
Wow.
While God's omnipresence is everywhere, his manifest presence is made known through his church.
This translation says, this means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's why he says, be holy, for I am holy.
Into the holy of holies. I'm going to live there.
You know, the oneness and knowing and seeing God in our lives. It's like this. It's like Pastor Wayne Holcomb. Mm-hmm. He thrived. He preaches a lot of marriage, right?
Yeah.
And God really anointed him in that. And you know, every time, I mean, I know what to expect. Now I'm at the point I don't even waste my time. But I sit down and my wife will be with me, and he would say, "So, Justin, how are you doing?" And he wants me to respond so that he can interrupt me when I'm responding to his question. So he could turn to my wife and say, "Now tell me, how's he doing?
How's he doing? Yes, right.
Now tell me, how's he doing?" Pastor Minor did the same thing. Because you could truly know the man without meeting him, but through his wife. Because over time, in a joint union, they truly become as one, mm-hmm. as though they are one in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Wow.
That's what marriage is.
That's what marriage is. So God made peace. He made a kind of harmony that has never been made before. If man tries to make peace, naturally, there will be treaties and contracts all in order to do so. You know, after World War II, you had, FDR, you had Winston Churchill, you had Stalin. They all had a meet in Germany to sign treaties to forge peace, and right? But God created peace, not through treaties or contracts, but through a covenant.
Covenant. Covenant relationship.
Isn't that something?
With God and one another.
God took it to a whole different, a deeper level. You see, because you can be at peace with a nation, yet you still hate the nation. Mm-hmm. You don't love your brother. But God says, no, that's just man trying to put a barrier limit. And thank God for treaties and all that stuff. And that's part of what God established. However, God says, let's take it deeper. Let's take it to the heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a heart condition. Mm-hmm. Majority of the things we face in our society today, mm-hmm. it's because it's a heart condition. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The whole issue is about whether you should keep your guns or no guns. Mm-hmm. It's a heart condition. In other words, when Moses sought to leave Pharaoh and it says, let my people go, the Bible says that God began to deal with Pharaoh's heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. The reason why Pharaoh kept saying no, he would say yes, and then he would say no and change his mind, is because it was a heart problem. It wasn't because he was bipolar. It was because out of the issues of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let me tell you something about the mind real quick. Whatever you meditate upon, whether it's good or not, I call it the gravity effect, spiritually. Because whatever you meditate, whether it's good, righteous, or whether it's sinful and wicked, the longer you allow that to sit in your mind to meditate, gravity will pull its way into your heart.
It will.
Because you don't just lash out and act out without thinking about it.
As he thinks, so he does.
So the thing is that, a man doesn't think about robbing a bank because all of a sudden he had this urge to rob a bank. No, he premeditated upon it. He thought about it. And so it's our thought life. That's why Paul later says, or Romans, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts, your mind, your thinking. Because when it reaches your heart, it will then reach through your actions.
That's right.
That's why Jesus says, you're talking about divorce. You're talking about the law. The law is talking about, is addressing your actions about it. But I say, take care of it when it's in your head.
You're judged by God.
You're judged by God.
In your head.
So manage it when it's in. Doesn't mean that, you're in sin. Also, I got a tempting thought. No, temptation will come. Thoughts like they'll come. It's what you do with it.
It's what you do with it.
You got to be quick with to cut it out. The greatest need for all humanity is reconciliation. Mm-hmm. It's reconciliation. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. We're doing good on time. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, not some, but all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray, you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You may question what your ministry is. It's not just for ministry is not just for preachers, pastors, or evangelists, etc. It's the ministry of reconciliation.
Reconciliation.
And that is what makes you an ambassador of Jesus Christ. It's not because you've had hands laid upon you and now all of a sudden you occupy a pulpit. It's because when you came to the foot of the cross, and as freely as you've received reconciliation, being reconciled unto God through Christ, therefore freely as you receive, now freely give. Go look to reconcile. Reconcile. Blessed is the peacemakers, for they shall see God.
See God.
My God. The local church should be the kingdom embassy. That's what the church is. It's the kingdom embassy. God's government is the kingdom, but he has embassy. It's called the church. I've traveled quite a bit, and I've been to embassies. I've been to the Russian embassy in the middle of the country of Armenia. And we were able to gain entry into Russia by virtue of visiting the Russian embassy so that we can get our visas in our passports. And therefore, they said, now that you visit first, you got to come through the embassy. If you want to come into the country by which it represents. I believe that the house of God should be the very nearest place to experience heaven on earth. It's the house of God where his presence dwells among the gathering of his people. I mean, he doesn't live in now brick and mortar in those buildings. He lives in the hearts of man. That's why it's a heart issue.
Everywhere we go should be the house of God.
Everywhere we go.
Wow.
We're like the mobile house.
Tabernacle.
Exactly. Moving.
We are the house.
The church is the kingdom embassy. You know, I used to growing up, I mean, I am a firm believer of the local church. I really do. I believe you must be part of a local body. I don't believe church through TV settles it. Because honestly, the pastor, as anointed he may be, he doesn't know who you are. You can give your money to the ministry. You can say, well, I'm not going to church. I just feel to go to the TV church. But let me tell you something. You don't have fellowship.
No.
And we need to grow in fellowship. It's very big. Through reconciliation is a, though reconciliation is a governmental term, the governments of this world can never deliver true reconciliation. Never. I don't care all the pageants of Miss America. Oh, we want world peace. Honey, you ain't getting it unless Jesus is in it.
That's right.
World peace. That's great. And I know you got a crown in your head now, but look at the crown that the Prince of Peace can give you.
Yeah. Maybe you won't get one.
I know, right? She used to say, not world peace. We need peace with God. Matthew 16:18 says, I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto you the keys. Someone say the keys.
Keys.
Of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What a promise.
Wow.
I will give you keys. Even the very councils of hell itself cannot stop the forward advancement of the church.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Church. Go right ahead.
Can you enumerate some of the keys?
Can you enumerate some of the keys?
I mean, what do you think that the keys?
That's a whole other message. But no, but the keys, there's keys of the kingdom. You have authority. Prayer is a key. It's like, it's when you're leaving your house, I mean, you carry the keys on you. You have a key for your car. You got a key to go places. You have a key for provision, a roof under your, you know, over your head. And so I believe there's keys. Not everybody, we all have the same key called prayer. Where we get God to, you know, to move. We have worship. Those are basic keys. The word of God. It's a key. Absolutely. And I believe that then there are some things that within our anointings, we all have different anointings and graces. I believe then we've outused some of those keys, if you will. Right? For example, my wife and I, one of the things that are different, she's more of a student of the word. She likes to teach the word. I enjoy teaching the word. But I'd be more sensitive of hearing God, what do you say? More of a prophetic, you know, having a prophetic flow out of me. And so some of the keys that we use spiritually is that she would use more of the word key. I read the word, but she'll use it more as a student, as to study the word. I'll use more the key of prayer. To pray, because I'm more apt to want to hear God's voice, and I can't hear unless I fellowship with Him. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I don't read the Word. I need to know the Word. I can't prophesy what I don't know unless God speaks it, but it also should bear witness to the nature of the Word of God. That's why we got to prove it with the Word. But, so you can use, we all have keys, but some could use a certain key more than others, if you understand what I'm saying, depending on the grace and the calling and what God's gearing them towards.
And that's why we need one another.
And that's why we need one another.
Yes.
So that means, Brother Chick, I could teach the word, but you could have a greater anointing of evangelism. And let's say, well, I've preached to people, or I've taught, whatever, but if there's a need for souls to come to Christ, I'm going to grab somebody who's more anointed. Because he's been using the keys more often. And that's the need that's at hand. The church has the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind or whatever you lock on earth shall be locked in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I wrote this thought down. How can we call out demons from people? How can we rebuke devils and call it out if we've never exposed or called out Jesus in our lives? Mm-hmm. If we've not been a place of releasing, how can we be also in the place of binding? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I really believe that whatever you bind or you lock up or you hide up, it's going to be the same way. Gee, God said this way. If you don't forgive, my Father won't forgive you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you're releasing unforgiveness toward them, unforgiveness is being released in heaven toward you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand where I'm going with this? But if you release reconciliation and mercy, so as you've done on earth,
that's right,
in this relationship, so mercy has been done and released on your behalf toward you. Mm-hmm. Whatsoever you sow, you shall surely what? Reap. In other words, so what we release. You want to make sure that, you know, going into eternity is all glorious? Make sure that you release and you sow. Not into things that moth and worms can eat, but so into heavenly treasure. Yeah. The fact that I'm working reconciliation with a brother or a sister, I'm investing in heavenly treasure.
Yes.
I hope they, you know, respond and they, you know, but I'm wanting to invest in that. It's not just I'm investing into missions, as important as that is. I want to invest. Lord, Paul said, the riches of God made manifest. There are riches that you and I need to invest into receive a greater return.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen? Don't be so conservative in what God wants to release out of your life. If you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah.
Jeez.
It's 7:21. Just letting you know. But God wants to release things. So the church is... I'll skip ahead, but the church is also called as the body. The body is not divided against itself in the church. Some said they were of Apollos, Peter, and so forth, but really the body is not divided against itself.
Amen.
It's not about to who do I subscribe to. I subscribe to Jesus Christ,
right,
where the body, the whole body is built upon. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Do we see the pattern here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Amen.
You couldn't get more specific than that. Ephesians 1:22 says, who hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, to be the church. To the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
The fullness.
Here's a thought. Did you know that you can lift more with more than just with your hands if you decide to use your legs? Think about that. In other words, we're part of the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. There is much more. You know, we're sitting there waiting. Oh, God, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? He says, I need my legs. I need you to get up.
Come on.
You're called to be a co-laborer with me. Yeah. We can get more accomplished. I think one of the most suppressing lies in the house of God, and I understand with some people, you know, you've got to be gracious, but I think it's a seed of Satan that has caused, especially in this country, that says, you know, that women shouldn't preach or teach. And I've asked someone, I said, do you think that that would further advance the kingdom? Because they believe that. They said, well, yes, I do. I said, really? Because you just quieted like half the body of Christ. And actually, if you look, think back in the 1930s, Dr. Wilson's day, actually women pastors quite outweighed men back then in America. Quite outweighed men. Oh, yeah. And that's a whole other ballgame. But there's neither male nor female. All are one in Christ. God needs his legs. Not just one leg. God doesn't want to just hop with you. We need to walk together with him.
That's right. Amen.
You know, go ahead.
As a boy, I was learning to lift weights at the age of 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I took my that on the platform mm-hmm. screen, and I lifted the, including my body, I lifted the mm-hmm. 600 pounds.
Wow.
What I had to do with my legs,
your legs.
And my yes. arms and my hands.
Amen. Isn't that something? So we got to rely, you know, I don't know the day nor the hour of Jesus' return. I will tell people, some people say, well, I don't know, he could come like any minute. I said, no, you're right, he couldn't come any minute. I said, but this is the truth, we are a day closer than we first believed.
Yes.
You know, yes. We are a day closer than we first believed.
That's right.
However, I do know when he's not coming. Because the Bible says that the Son of Man is waiting until the earth has been made his footstool. And all things are now placed under his feet. All demonic powers, all the things, everything that's being conquered. Well, guess who makes up his feet? Us. In other words, until, bride, I'm waiting for you to be equally yoked in power. Until you, kingdom ambassador, are walking in the authority of dominion, as I commission Adam and Eve. I think I'm going to begin to hear the desire of me coming a little bit sooner. He is waiting until the enemy becomes his footstool. Mm. And his footstool, his feet, is the body of Christ. It's yes. part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
You know, Jesus says, I've given you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. Mm-hmm. I may have shared this before. He could have said any other kind of animal. Lions, tigers, bears, oh my. But he didn't.
He didn't.
You know why? He specifically mentioned animals or critters that you only find in wilderness places. In other words, you might be on the mountaintop thinking you're being victorious, but it's even when you're in the wilderness, and majority of your walk with God will be in wilderness times. Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is that is because God is a God of process, and he wants to work process in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get to this place without allowing God to process me. I didn't get to a place of being a minister because Phil Cappuccio is my uncle. I told him when we started my walk with the Lord, I said, I don't want to enter into what God has for me just because of your name and of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I want to because I was willing to pay the price and the process that God had for me to come into. He told me, son, all right, that's great. Then the loose is going to be a little bit tighter around you. I said, let it be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let it be. I don't want to enter in any other way. And so we are called, and even in wilderness times, he says, I've given you power to even crush the head of the serpent that's trying to take advantage of you in the time where you feel more thirsty and more burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
I've given you power. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Last two things. The temple is also what the church is known for. Revelation 1:6, and God hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, if you feel uncomfortable of being weird around your peers at work because, you know, you don't want them to know that you're a Christian and let alone a spirit filled, you better get used to it. You're called to be a peculiar person.
Amen.
So you're called to be different, and it's different people that make a difference.
Yeah.
It's people that are willing to be different that are used by God to make a difference. It's those who are willing to stand up in the midst of a crowd who are all sitting down. Mm-hmm. It's those who are willing that when everyone's going in the flow of traffic or the current that goes this way, you're going upstream. When it seems like the current in a lot of the churches in America are going with the stream of humanism and society today, embracing same-sex, whatchamacallit, I don't know. But the whole thing is this, it takes a man and a woman of God that says, I will begin to flow upstream into the prayer closet, and I'll begin to touch the hem of the garment, and me say, Lord, use me, Lord, for whichever you have me to do.
Amen.
Help me, God, to be a person of reconciliation.
Yes.
My God.
Let it be, Lord.
Jesus.
Let it be.
We're called to be a peculiar people that would show forth the praises of God who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. In the Old Testament, there was a separation between kingly ministry and priestly ministry. In the New Testament, now they're joined together. But consider Melchizedek, who's a shadow and type of Christ and an example of the New Testament believer in which we're a part of today. Out of our priestly access, we are to walk out in kingdom dominion. Out of our fellowship with God, it ought to translate in walking in dominion upon the earth.
That's right.
We need to have a priestly mentality. Where the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews writes, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. There's that heart condition again. In full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. There's that thought life again. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's why you need to be part of a body. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're also called, noted, as the family of God. Above everything else, Jesus came to reveal God as the Father. No one before him did such a thing. Why? Because when Jesus came, it was so that you and I could be restored as sons unto God. That's why Jesus taught the disciples to pray, starting off with this, our Father. Not just reinforcing how to pray, but rather how to accept each other as brethren and as God as a Father. Galatians 6:10, for we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are in the household of faith. Wow. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. If we love one another, all that hangs on the Old Testament on that. Love is like the curtain rod, and if the curtain rod falls, all the ways of the law and prophets will fall too. It's the standard.
Yeah.
I'm going to conclude with this. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As a family, we should be restoration-minded. For a child, the safest place for them, if they fall down and get hurt or get bullied, they would want to run home. Because the family should have an expression of love and acceptance. Consider the prodigal son. When he came to himself, he went home. He rather have been a servant at home than in the world. David, King David says, rather he would be the doorkeeper of the house of God than dwell in the tents of wicked men. Psalm 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So somebody says you're a little overweight, you say, I'm flourishing. Okay? to show that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, we bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory and honor tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank, oh God, we could spend hours, I mean days, about the bride of Christ, about your church. Lord, we really didn't even scratch the surface. But Father, we thank you that you've called us, Lord, unto yourself.
Yes, Lord.
And Father God, we just thank you for this time in the word. And Lord God, we pray, Father God, even in the questions and thoughts, Lord God, we pray that, Lord, may there continue to be the revealing and Lord, and the undigging of such nuggets and wisdom. And Lord, mostly power that would change our lives, our hearts, to be a change into the lives of others, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father God, you're not a respecter of person. You die for everybody. Everybody. Even those who don't know you, even those who have a different sexual preference, you died for them.
Yes, Lord.
Even those who had abortions, you died for them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, help us to realize and to look beyond just the actions. Help us to look at the heart. Because, Lord, it's a heart that you're looking to restore. It's a heart that you're looking to fix. It's a heart condition, oh God. Lord God, it's not just about social injustice, though that has its place. It's the moving and changing of a heart, Lord. Jesus, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Lord God, we pray that beyond our political opinions and beyond our preference, Lord, may the premier of Christ, Lord, be resurrected in us, and may you be lifted up. And you said, if only you lift up me, I will draw all unto me. Lord, let it be in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.